How would you define the term connection when it comes to sex and relationships?
It's like genuine intimacy for me. And so I look at sex as like a conversation. Both people are engaged. Both people feel like they're being heard.
Feeling understood by someone and understanding them.
I love physical touch. It's like one of my love languages. I need to have a connection where I feel comfortable being like in the arms of someone else.
I think I feel most connected to my partner when I'm most connected to myself.
When we get into our argument and then we do like makeup sex, like I feel really connected there.
The wind down afterwards, the pillow talk, the cuddling, the aftercare.
Is connection important in a strictly sexual relationship?
I'm telling truth here. If you're just gonna have sex with someone, you don't really need a connection, especially if you're a man.
I definitely think that connection coincides with intimacy. A lot of people like to associate intimacy with just like physical affection and stuff, but I think it really goes deeper.
It goes beyond just love as well. Just a connection is being on the same wavelength, I would say. You just have to vibe and you just have to flow at the same rhythm. And that's what a connection is to me, at least.
All right, all right. Welcome to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed.
Welcome, welcome.
In today's episode, we're going to talk all about connection. The foundation of it all, what we do all of this for at the end of the day, is for connection. So we're going to get all into it. We're going to talk about our connection. We're going to talk about what we've been doing to build our connection. Yeah. Connection in general, how people connect, what we can do to connect better with each other. All about connection. But before we get into today's episode, I want to give a big shout out to my pops. So it's been about 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
My pops passed away. And anyone who's listened to the show knows that when we first started this, he was a huge supporter.
Number one
of
fan.
It all. Number one fan.
Watched
he was tuning
every
in.
Episode.
He figured out how to hop on YouTube and watched, not even listen, watched every episode and genuinely liked it. And I think it was really important for me to get that from him. Like, not that I needed his approval to get started. Either way, we was going to do this and it was going to be great.
Yeah.
But just knowing that who I am, like, he got to see me for real. Like, he got to actually get to see and know his son for real, a little bit about me. So for him to really see me showing up in my true self at like my first like real man version of myself, like really coming into the man part of me, and for him to genuinely approve and love me and connect with that was really dope.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I got to experience that before he left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got to experience it too. It was a blessing to be, also to be seen and to be appreciated. And just, I can't, countless of your family members have said that, thank you for loving him as he is. And it's awkward that they all watch. Right. But it's been beautiful. And I'm so grateful for your dad for so many millions of reasons.
Yeah, I'm glad he got to connect and see you fully too and love and accept you in all of
fully.
The ways. Gotta tell him the story though. Tell him the story.
No. No.
I'm not. You only
can,
right.
You can
Come
sell
on.
It. I'm not telling it.
Fine. I will tell the story. So we're at my old apartment back on 53rd Street. And we were looking up something. I don't know. Somehow my phone got connected to the TV. I was about to show him something. We're all just me. The three of us are in my living room. I'm about to show my father something on the screen. And we all, y'all know each other. This is the first time meeting.
This is our first time meeting.
This is the first time actually.
He came
meeting.
Over to your place for the first time.
Right. Came to the crib. And so I'm trying to show a picture of something. And little did I know, the last picture that I had open in my phone was a picture of these beautiful tatas right here outside, sunbathing on the roof. I could have sworn you had your face covered.
No. No.
Either way, it was clearly these were her titties. Couldn't be no other person's titties. I was very embarrassed for you. You didn't seem that embarrassed, though.
I wasn't that embarrassed.
You weren't that embarrassed. And he loved it, of course. You know?
Of course.
Of course. And that was your first moments with my dad.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly wasn't embarrassed because, I don't know, I felt comfortable with him. Not comfortable enough for him to see my tatas, but comfortable enough that there wasn't a need to be embarrassed. And it was just this awkward, funny moment, but it was fine.
I just felt like that was a sign that it was all real. Like, this is real.
Yeah.
You just saw your titties. This is real. We doing this. So,
Not that it was needed.
Not that it was needed.
At all.
I take it as a sign.
I'm glad.
But shout out to Dad, man. Shout out to him. But yeah, I mean, this has been going on for quite a long time, and it wasn't something that I really wanted to talk about. But you know, when he did pass, I felt it was only right to just you know, mention him. You know, part of the reason why we were gone for a little bit, you know, but now we use him and his energy and his life, you know, and we celebrate that as we continue to do what we do and building this thing in his honor.
Absolutely, in his honor.
Absolutely.
I love Dad. I miss him a lot.
I miss him too.
Yeah.
So with that being said, today's conversation is all about connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way we decided to get this going, this is going to be a little mini series in, you know, us reconnecting and us reestablishing ourselves,
yeah,
for the pod and just in our relationship. You know, a huge part of that was connection. That was, you know, the byproduct, the challenge of connecting with each other was the byproduct, you know, of some of our issues, you know, before.
Yeah, feeling disconnected, feeling unaligned, and just kind of fighting to get back to where we were and fighting to be stronger.
Yeah. And I know for me, when it came down to it, it was like, all right, like, how do we, because the goal was the dynamic. Like, how can we get back in our DS dynamic? Like, that was very important for both of us.
Mm-hmm, still is.
It still is. But in realizing, like, I just can't even, like, there was a wall, just a thick-ass invisible wall, and I couldn't push through just wanting to step across the line and just get going with it. I couldn't do it, so I'm like, what is it? You know, and then just looking things up online for some help, some kind of point in the right direction, it became very apparent. Like, before we can get to any dynamics or specific goals and what we want to do in our relationship or any fun in that way, like, we got to like each other.
Yeah, we have to be friends.
We got to be friends. we got to connect.
We have to connect. We have to just feel human and feel close and feel like we can trust each other. Not that trust was, you know, I don't know the word, disrespected or disbarred, but just feeling comfortable enough with each other that we can just breathe. I feel like both of us just kind of constantly felt like our guard was up and walking on eggshells. And we had to move past that and get to a space where we could just connect and we could just breathe and be. And doing all that while also trying to maintain something as intense and strong and passionate as a DS dynamic, it was a lot. It was too much.
Yeah.
And we both didn't want to kind of strip that away because it was just such a foundational thing for us. But it was so necessary to just kind of be like, okay, outside of this, we're still like human, we're still individuals, we're still people, and we're still a couple. And that's what our foundation needs to be on, being a couple and being in this relationship. And then anything else is just icing on the cake.
Right. And so then we decided to kind of take it back to the basics and realize before we could really connect with each other, even we had to reconnect with ourselves, just because how we've ended up spending so much time with each other, you know, over the last few years with COVID going on and just, you know, life, like we've been a huge part, number one in each other's lives by
number
far.
Number one, two, and three.
Exactly. Like by far. So, you know, in that we lost connection with ourselves. And I knew for myself, like one day I woke up like, yo, who's 2023 me though? Like I remember 2019 me when I was single, going into 2020 and 2020 me's goals and trying to figure it out and starting this new exciting thing with you. And then it was just a blur of 2 years. And next thing you know, we're in 2023. I don't know this guy. I don't know what he wants. I don't know where he's going. I don't know who he is, what he does. And that scared me a little bit. Yeah. I was like, I can't keep going forward in this way.
Yeah. And I felt the exact same way of just, I know who your fiance is. I know who your sub is. I know who, you know, loves your kids. Like, I know who that version of myself is, but like, who am I? What do I like? What do I do to feel connected to myself? What do I need to grow myself to be a stronger woman so that I can even show up in those ways for you? And I was at a loss for words. And it was really a hard pill to swallow, realizing that I lost my identity in a relationship. And that's something that I never wanted to do. 'Cause I've seen my mother do that. And shout out to her. Her birthday was yesterday.
Shout out to moms.
Shout out to moms. But yeah, I saw those things, and I also saw how strong my mother was and how much of an individual she was, and I always idolized that. So to kind of see myself just so lost and feeling like a sad character in my own life and not knowing what to do with that, it was rough. It was rough. And I feel like I got there before you did.
What, that you were feeling disconnected?
Yeah. That I felt like I just completely lost myself. And I think that happened naturally because of just the dynamics of what our relationship was. It's like I had to be there for you and my life was for you. And it was weird. It was weird.
It's so interesting because I probably would have been there with you at the same time if I didn't have such a thriving voiceover business starting.
Yeah.
Like that was my whole identity outside of you. That was the only thing I had. I'm a fucking voiceover guy and I'm pretty damn good at this. Let's build this business. I'm moving and shaking, doing my thing. So that was all I had to hold on to. You know, it was cool, but there's just so many aspects of myself that I let go.
Yeah.
So we were dealing with that for a while and then decided we need 30 days. We need 30 days. Just to focus on ourselves completely, put ourselves first.
Yeah.
For the first time in a long time. And, you know, the goal of the 30 days was to just, for me, my goals, I'll start with mine and let me know what yours were. Mm-hmm. But mine were to just breathe, just be able to breathe and not feel obligated to have to talk to you or check in or just make sure everything in your world was good. Like it was just a second for me to just be at peace and just really look at myself, my space, you know, like what does my apartment look like? You know, how do I feel? What am I doing? What does my day look like? Like all these things, I got to really ask myself these questions and figure out, not try to fix it. I'm not going to fix anything in 30 days, but allow me the opportunity to pull back the curtain and really see, okay, this is what's going on here. Is this what I want? Some of it, other stuff, not so much. So it gave me the opportunity to just figure that stuff out and just have a moment of peace.
Yeah.
A moment of peace. So what were your goals? And then we can move forward.
Mine were to create better habits. I had such poor habits of, you know, not really having that same type of life that I had back in 2019 of just that structure. I lost structure fully. So my goal was to create better habits, to create a stronger routine for myself, and also to just connect with myself and connect with my femininity. And like being around you and Jazz, it sounds so odd, but it's the most I've ever been around boys. Like growing up, I had a bunch of siblings, but in the household, it was like my mom, my two sisters, and my brother. So it's like women always dominated no matter what space I was in. So it's just like weird being the minority. So at least for me. And so my whole thing was just like, I'm just going to do every feminine thing that I can get my hands on and really connecting with my dark femininity, really connecting with my light femininity and figuring out what I needed to fully embody that and feel strong in that. Also growing my coaching business and figuring out who I want to be as a coach and how I want to show up for other people. So those were my goals.
I feel that. Now, I definitely knew I didn't have the routine going at the time. So I just wanted to identify, what I wanted that to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it would be a little while before implementation, but what that looked like. I'll say my biggest takeaway is my full-blown skin routine. You know, my
you
face
did get
routine.
A skin routine. Yeah.
Yeah. You helped me with that. So even during that time, you know, we still connected. We doing our thing.
I feel like we connected way more than one. We started out like we will talk once a week. We'll do a check-in on Friday evenings for 20 minutes.
Right.
But we ended up talking one way more than we initially decided. But two, I was feeling like so looking forward to it,
mm-hmm.
of just like, oh, like it's been a few days, like let's check in, right. Or like going a whole day without speaking with you and going so several days without seeing you. Like we still ended up seeing each other throughout these 30 days, but it was funny enough, it was us following the schedule that we initially decided, which is that we'll be separate on the weekdays and then together on the weekends, and we ended up doing just that. And it felt great. it felt great. It felt like there was enough separation, but also enough to get enough togetherness. And I don't know, I felt more connected to you then than I have in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, just that breather. I just needed to have myself so that I can have myself for us.
Yeah.
But I didn't have myself.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that goes to a good point in terms of being able to connect with others. The only way that could ever happen is if you're connected with yourself. If you don't have a connection with yourself, there's no way. What do you have to connect with somebody else?
Yeah, it's all about like that cup. Like, is your cup full? Because if it's full, then you can pour into other people's cups. But if you're empty, you're on empty.
Right.
There's like no way to really do for others in any type of capacity.
Yeah. So that's definitely number one. Got to connect with yourself. So we did our 30 days and when we came back, it definitely felt a lot better. It felt a lot better. I felt like I saw shifts in myself for sure. Now, granted, like, you know, everything was going on with Pop. So it was hard to, I guess, come out of it on the other side the way I truly wanted. It's just I didn't really have the chance to have as much peace and just a break as I wanted. But I still felt better on the other side of it. And we've been doing a hell of a lot better. Like, we've been doing significantly better.
Yeah.
Significantly better. So I'm grateful for that. I will say that it was a success. And, you know, if sometimes you feel like you're getting lost in your relationships and you don't know who you are anymore, where you fit, it's okay to take a second.
Yeah.
And not fear like you're going to lose your relationship or anything. You have to put you first. You got to protect yourself. You got to protect your partner. The only way y'all can do that for each other is to be whole.
Yeah, and to prioritize yourself. Like, I think we forget as couples, we're still two individuals. We're two individuals that have two different needs and desires and goals and responsibilities. And to honor yourself as yourself for a second, it's important. Like, at the end of the day, yes, you are a parent. Yes, you are a fiance, a son, an uncle. You are all those things, but first you are yourself. And keeping that no matter what type of dynamics you have, it's so necessary.
Right. I was about to say two different lives, and then as I thought about it, I'm like, that doesn't feel right at this point. I think we're so far into it, our lives have meshed into one. And I think that's the challenge, because they have meshed into this oneness. How do you still find space to have your little sliver of your own life within the one life?
Yeah.
Because I don't have my own life no more. You were very much in my life.
Ditto.
Yeah.
You are my everything. It's a lot. Because we work together, not just with this podcast, but now with your business as well. I'm your assistant. And which has been, honestly, it just started, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it way more than I expected. I expected to hate every moment of it, if I'm being completely thoroughly honest. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm really loving helping to grow your stuff and to be a part of it and to take a load off of all that you do, because you do provide for us, and it's a lot. And it also has helped me with just the structure that I have in my own life and building my own business, because, you know, you built your business before I built mine. So I'm still learning that process as well, and figuring out better ways to communicate with people and better ways to follow up. And it's been amazing. But yeah, absolutely. We are just one big life. It's so funny that, like, I was having this conversation with a friend, and they were just talking about the importance of just, like, you know, keeping your work life and, like, your personal life and your sex life and just, like, compartmentalizing. And I'm like, my work life, sex life is all the same life.
It's one big mesh.
It's like, we, in our work, we talk about sex, and our sex is our relationship. It's just that work-life balance is so blurred with us. And I think that's why people give that advice, like, you know, you really shouldn't work with your partner.
It's tough.
It's not for the faint of heart. And it's just like you and I all day long. Like, you're my business partner. You're my fiance. You're going to be the future father of my children. Like, you know, paying my bills. It's just like you're everything. And it sounds so loaded. And I love it. For me, I wouldn't recommend it to a friend.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, let's talk about connection.
Yeah.
So, I know you have a definition you found for connection.
I found a few. But yes, connection is a bond, a link, or a tie. Something or someone interlocked. Interlock the two words, emotion and connection, and it becomes a bond or tie to someone with whom you share a particular set of emotions.
What do you feel about that?
I like it. I definitely think that bond and that link is so imperative to what true connection is about, because you are bonded in some kind of way. We're bonded by love. We're bonded by responsibility, by sex, by work. We're bonded in these different ways, and we have these different avenues of connection, but they all lead back to connection.
Right. I would just add to that. I feel like bond, link, or tie can be somewhat of a strong word. Like, it's absolutely those things, of course.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are shorter term, like, little spark connections. Mm-hmm. They're real, but they're only momentarily. It's a, yeah, I see the shit out of you right now. You see the shit out of me right now. That's cool. And then you're off. But it's not this thing keeping you here. It's just a fully seeing. Yeah. I fully see you. And that's why I feel like at its core, it's I fully see and experience you presently in whatever this thing that we connect through. Yeah. I see that wholly in you.
I think that's more energetic connection, like what you just described.
Mm-hmm. But is that all it ever is?
No. Absolutely. But if you just want to get like technical, there's emotional connection, then there's energetic connection, then there's just connection as a whole. And I think that, like, I have a definition here for emotional connection that I think is really amazing. It says, an emotional connection is a feeling of alignment and intimacy between two people that goes beyond just physical attraction. It's having fun together, surface-level conversations, or even intellectual similarities. So it goes beyond all those things. And I think all of that is true. You know, when you're talking about just that overstepping, just deep connection, it has everything you just explained of those temporary parts as well. And maybe they do linger, or maybe it does go deeper. But connection is what living is all about.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
So then I don't think connection can be devoid, like that word, devoid of emotion. Mm-hmm. It has to have emotion.
Yeah.
For it to be a real connection. So do we have, are we emotionally invested in our connections? I think that will weed out a lot of bullshit that people think they're connected to. It's like, how does this make me feel emotionally?
Yeah.
You know? So that's interesting. But I like alignment. That jumped out. That's just the main thing. Just aligned.
Yeah. One thing that I've been living by, and I've been really going in with my clients recently, is just about aligned and unaligned. Like, you think about the connections you have or the relationships you have, and, you know, people say, like, what's the pro cons list? Like, what's the good or bad? And I stopped looking at good and bad, and I started thinking of aligned and unaligned. Like, what? Because if I do a pros cons list about you, honestly, the pros list is going to be very, very long. And then there's, like, the con list of just, like, two or three things, but I don't want to look at you as bad. And I feel like looking at a con is bad. There are many things about you that are aligned and many things about you that are unaligned. Mm-hmm. But when I look at that list, it's just like, okay, of these unaligned things, are they something that are non-negotiables for me? Like, I cannot deal with this. And when I look at the list that way, there's nothing on that unaligned list that's just like, this is just too much for me, and this is a make or break. And I don't know, I feel like with pro cons lists, they're a little more arbitrary in that way, where it's just, or more structural in that way. I don't even
structured.
Think this. Structured, thank you. More structured in that way of just, you know, this is good or bad, this is black or white. And it's just like, okay, well, if there's enough of those, you have to cut that person off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not that, I don't know, I just think connection and isn't that clear sometimes.
Yeah. When I think about it, I feel like between men and women, that women, even from a young age, even as young girls, they seek connection way more than boys, and then in turn men, because men definitely don't look for connection first. That's not our thing. It's like, y'all are always looking for that. I think as like when we're younger, we you know, look for connection on the playground, but you know, like meaningful connection as you get older, it seems like it's inherently within women, and for men, it's just not. And I think that's where the initial challenge starts and why as we just get older, it just kind of gets worse.
I don't know. Granted, I'm not a man, but I would argue that it is inherent in men, but it's not encouraged. So it's shut down. It's not something that is sought out because it's not really put in this lane of this is okay or this is acceptable or this is something you should do. Whereas with women and girls, it is. Like, we're taught so young that we're supposed to aim for marriage, and marriage is like supposed to be the ultimate level of connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's like our constant goal, so every relationship, even if it's your first relationship, it's marriage is on the brain. And not necessarily that, but it's just like it's on the back of the mind. Mm-hmm. Of just like, oh, okay, well, if this works out, oh my goodness, it'll be so cool if I married my high school sweetheart. Like, men don't think that way because they're not really taught that way. But it also, it's like a double-edged sword because women are taught that way because we're taught that our bodies and our worth goes into that type of thing. Like, mm-hmm. you want to get married off before you're used.
Right.
And no longer valuable or wanted by a man. So
there's that, like, as well. A bunch of programming to me.
It is a bunch of programming. But so, I think at its core, we are all people, all beings are wired for connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think, like, once you get older, you have more say in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as men, we have the opportunity, like, we're going out into the world freely, going on dates with women and being in relationships. I feel like if you want to connect, you'll want to connect. You'll learn how to do it.
Yeah.
You'll learn how to do it. But I know for me, I'm trying to think, like, when I was 15 to 21, was I trying to? I do think I was. I do think, and I think that's why I cared so much and, like, I was kind of slow out the gates because I was looking more for a connection, like a feeling, some kind of feeling.
Yeah.
I was looking for that. But it was still, it was for me though. It was like selfish, like, oh, how will this make me feel?
Not the unit.
Right.
Like you and the other person.
Yeah. Like, cause I wanted the girl to feel good and connected to me so that she'll like me. Like, it means I did a good job.
Mm.
Like, I want her to feel good, but so, like, I did it the right way. It still came back to me. I didn't want her to just feel good so she just has a great experience in her life with me, you know?
Yeah.
So it was still self-serving.
I think that I would argue that men are seeking connection and they just seek it through sex. And it's there's still, even if it's temporary, even if it's just a moment, when you're having sex with somebody, there is a connection happening there. And it's this connected euphoria. It's this connected good, just feeling pleasure. And for some, it might be temporary, but that's still that. And I think that it becomes a little more toxic because men aren't really taught how to just connect and to enjoy.
When we allow ourselves to, we can have connections. So few and far between, there's a woman every once in a while that we really like, and it goes beyond the sex. Because, I mean, it's a connection, obviously, when you have sex with somebody. But I think when it goes away so quickly after you come, I question, was that really a connection? Or is that me connecting to my pleasure and you're just the vessel there making it feel good? But am I really connecting with you, or I'm connecting with how good I'm feeling in this moment?
Yeah.
It's not the person. It's like the experience. The person is just going along for the ride.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about it becoming toxic.
Yeah, because I don't think men connect with women so easily, because I think our goals are different when we have sex. Typically, obviously, they're, you know, men absolutely, you know, connect with women and their goals go beyond sex. But I'm talking about in general terms, so we can actually have a conversation about this and get somewhere. I feel like a man's goal is self-serving. It's all ego driven. Mm-hmm. It's I'm going after this sex so it can validate me as a man, as opposed to I'm want to have sex with this woman because I'm interested in her. I feel connected to her. I want to share our energy so that we can connect more and, you know, build something here or do something here. That's not really how we lead a lot of times. We lead with, okay, somebody, she look good. I like to fuck. I like to get that. Let me get another body. Let me get another number. Oh yeah, I hit that. So you could brag about it. Oh yeah, I hit that. Yeah, that was.
But even in that bragging about it, then it's another form of trying to get connection and trying to be validated in that way with your boys.
Yeah,
it's again just toxic ways of connection. And I think we just talked about in the toxic ways women do it. It's almost like, I think at our core, women are seeking connection and seeking longevity, but it could also be that we're using sex to kind of force it. Like, okay, well, if I fuck him good enough and I give him this part of me, then maybe he'll want to stay. And over time, we can build that connection, like by proxy.
I think that's where y'all get into trouble too. Because there are times, like, you know, like I said, every once in a while, there's, you know, a woman that comes along where you're interested. She really did something different that makes you, you know, what makes her come up on your radar. And when we do get there, a lot of times, because a woman has it built in her DNA, I want the whole thing and all, like, this deeper connection, like, and it's already painted out what that's supposed to look like, because we're not there yet. There's a disconnect because y'all want something completely different than us. Yeah. And y'all are like trying to do it right now. And we're not on the same page with what our goals even are.
Yeah. And it's okay to not even be on the same page. But where it becomes a problem is people aren't communicating that.
And it's also like the intention. For me, it's like, well, why? Like, because I would hate when I'll be dating someone for a couple weeks. Maybe we're like 6 weeks in, 2 months in. Early. And it's cool. Like, we're having a good time, but we're not clearly, like, blast off. This is not like me and you where it's immediate takeoff. Like, we know what time it is. It's cool. We're filling it out. We're having a good time. We're getting to know each other. And all of a sudden, they start asking these questions like, where is this going? It's only been 2 months. What do you mean where it's going? We're doing a thing right now. It's cool. Holla at me in 4 months, 6 months. Let's see what this looks like. And it's like, you start fucking it up. You start doing things to try to put us in this place that we're not trying to go.
Yeah, but I also think it's just almost a waste of time, because it's like, okay. Like, I love the quote, don't let your boyfriend stop you from finding your husband. It's just like, you're holding up the line, like, 2 months. That's 2 months. You got 2 months of my time and my attention that I'm not giving to someone else. And if you're not even trying to get there, if you're not even trying to be on the same page with me, then leave me alone. Let me move on.
But I'm going to give you 2 months of an amazing experience with someone real who will... You'll enjoy their company. You'll feel safe in my company. You'll feel like you can be yourself in my company, and you can grow in some way as a person, and you're good here. So it's not just,
For how many more months?
Let's see where it goes. That's a great question. Let's fucking see.
Okay.
But you see, like, don't fuck up the ride. You're trying to rush the ride.
Is
I'm here.
About-
because it's one thing if a dude is on some bullshit, he's not doing nothing. He's giving bare minimum effort. But I'm talking about somebody who's showing up and is actually a good person. Let it rock.
Well, you're talking about someone who's actually a good person and showing up and showing you these different ways about yourself and having an amazing experience. That's rare.
Well, so I can only speak for my goddamn self. Shit. I'm just saying
that's rare. So a woman comes across that, then absolutely that question is going to be, well, where is this going? Because I don't want you to go anywhere. Because if you go anywhere, I'm going to run into seven more of not you.
So then that means you gotta understand the realities of the world. Don't be living in Disneyland.
I don't think it's living in Disneyland to want to have that conversation, to want to figure out early on, is longevity something you're seeking? Because if it's something that I'm really adamant about right now, I'm wanting a relationship in my life, and you're just wanting to fuck around, I feel like after 2 months, you'll still know if that's your mindset. And I want to know that.
No, it's a valid question. Absolutely valid question. You know, I'm all for the conversation. So I think it's completely fine with asking the question. But when I answer you, and I tell you, I'm not ready for that right now. I like this. I don't want you to go anywhere. Let's see where this can go. I feel like because y'all have this idea of what that's supposed to look like, and maybe more women are not open to alternate ways of doing a relationship, or for instance, or being open to, hey, we're in a dating phase right now. People are going to date. He's going to date other people. You have the right to do the same as well. But I feel like because it's not that, it's like, well, either take it right now because I'm asking you so we can do this thing. Or if I say no, then it's over. Now it's a problem.
No, I understand what you mean.
There's no room for us to get there. Mm-hmm. If I'm being honest with you, hey, I'm not ready for that. I like this. Let's keep on. Y'all don't want to hear that shit. Now you're all, oh, he's fucking around, all these women, blah, blah, blah. And you start getting in your head and shit go crazy and then go left in another 3 weeks. That's what I'm talking about. Instead of pump your brakes. This is cool. Let's not fuck this up. Let's get some more months. Let's continue to build this connection so you can help me make a decision on if you are somebody I want in my life 5 years from now, start a family with. I need time.
No, I think time is definitely something that everybody deserves. And also, I think that being realistic about where you are, like, I think early 20s, you want to have that conversation. Absolutely pump your brakes. But I'm talking about people in their late 20s, people in their early 30s, people in their 40s. It's like that conversation has to happen a lot quicker. Like, where are you? What's going on? Like, I'm wanting to figure this out. And if you're still in the space of, well, I still want to date some more and I want to settle down, I want to at least have a time frame of, okay, you want to like, let's pump our brakes, let's take some more time and have a few more months. Cool. When can we have the conversation? And I feel like if it was approached that way of like, I just need a set time of when we can really approach this conversation so I at least know what's going on. Because a lot of men who aren't ready are leading women on who are ready. But those women are so good and so lovely that y'all don't want to let them go. And so that they can find whatever longevity that they're seeking, because you're unprepared for it.
And that's not cool either. Definitely not a stringing of long. You should be able to give a clear answer on, hey, I don't know right now. Let's have another conversation in 2 months and hold me to that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it again.
And I think that's fair.
That's fair.
Like, oh, okay, you don't know right now, bet. We're having a great time. Let's just enjoy it. But in 2 months, be ready to have that conversation.
That's
and if
fair.
The answer is you still don't know, be ready to let me go.
That's fair.
So I feel like a lot of men are wasting women's time who are ready to move forward. And like at a certain time, women's clocks start ticking. It's like, we only have but so many years when we can just procreate if we decide to. Man, y'all can just, my dad had me at 56 years old. Like, give me a break. Y'all have way more time.
And
y'all
56?
Are, he's 56.
I never knew the age.
Yeah. He's 56. But yeah, like, I just feel like the time should be respected and reciprocated.
No, absolutely. I think 2 months looks very different than 4 months when it's somebody you've been kicking it with, where you know, like, this is a good situation. It's clear this is a good situation. I'm not talking about questionable ones. I'm talking about where you know it's clearly a good situation and, you know, just allowing time to unfold. Yeah. 4 months, you got a good idea where you want to take things.
I feel like I like threes. I used to work in jewelry and we said everything happens in threes. 3 months, you should know if you want them to be your girlfriend. And 3 years is the max before you get engaged.
90 days sounds nice. If it, you know, that's that nice number. I need to get one more because it's like the cliche. Let me get past 90. Let me go, what is it, 120 days. 120 days.
120 days sounds wild.
That's not even crazy. It sounds wild. You want me to spend the rest of my life with
no,
you?
No, I just want to figure out if we're going steady.
Cool. 120 days.
Like, are you
days.
Still fucking other people after 90 days?
I feel like in order to earn that right, that's a right. That's a right. For both sides. Say, hey, I'm going to be exclusively dealing with you. You're going to get all my time. That's a right on both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Give me 120 days to make that decision.
I feel like 90 days. You got 90 days to make that decision.
Say no 90-day fiancé bullshit.
Then that's why it's called 90-day fiancé.
Because
it gives you 90 days to figure
exactly.
out. Do you want them to at least be your fiancé?
I don't want them.
I understand marriage takes a lot longer. I completely understand that. I still say 3 years. After 3 years, I'm going to leave my biases. But I feel like 90 days, you should have an idea of, do I want this to, and I'm not saying that it has to be solidified, but you should have a rough idea.
I have an idea. By 90 days, I have my own idea. I'm not necessarily, I will maybe, or maybe not share it with you. For me personally, typically, I'd want to give it a little bit more time.
This man asked me to marry him at 90 days.
Right. But what I'm saying is that's because it was clear as hell.
It was like, clear.
If it's not that, I'm saying if it's not that, then give me some time. It's either that or give me some time.
It was 3 weeks with an I love weeks. You. Exactly. It was 3 months with an engagement. We're at 3 years. We're getting married.
Right. But prior to you, I would take my time. I'll take my time. But I would be invested, though. I'm going to give you, you know, a good amount of me. I'm not going to give you everything, but I'm going to give you a good amount of me if I like you like that. So I just feel like if both sides could be, if men could be more real about their intentions, fellas, you know, if you're not ready to do this for real, you are you not feeling her like that, don't string her along. That's not fair.
Yeah, let her
that's
go.
Not nice. That's not nice. But if you know there's something there, you want to see what it is, don't feel pressure to, oh, I gotta cut all the other women off in my life and I gotta have her be over 3 times, 4 times a week. None of that. Get a key to my crib. None of that. That's not okay either. And I feel like women be like, all right, well, we've been fucking for a couple months now. I need you to cut off all these chicks. You know, we should be spending more time. Where are we going with this? That is not cool either. Pump your brakes. That's all I'm saying.
You need 120 days to do that?
Not necessarily 120 days. I'm saying
allow for
max.
Space.
Yeah, that's the max. I think after 120 days, you should know it. But give it at least that for the ones who need a little more time. That's really my point.
I don't need full commitment after 90 days, but I need you to have let go of whoever else you were messing with after 90 days.
But if you still want to be in an open relationship?
That's different. But like, even with us, we wanted to be in an open relationship, but we cut whoever off.
I'm talking about whoever's been around. Yeah, I like the clean slate. I didn't like it's the lingering shit.
You gotta get rid of that. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I don't think you can truly, me personally, my opinion, I don't think you can truly start something real and new with someone when they have real ties to other people.
Like starting out. Yeah.
Starting out.
You gotta get rid of that.
Yeah, they already had a whole lot of history.
That's what I mean by the 90 days. It's like, get rid of that. Like even if you're just still wondering in your mind if you wanna go steady. I don't know why I keep saying that, like we're in the 50s. If you wanna go steady and, you know, you want me to be your girlfriend, you want to go that far. I understand if you don't wanna make that step at 90 days, but there should not be somebody else texting you nonstop, talking about some good morning daddy at that 90 day mark. What are we talking about?
You should have it figured out by then.
Yeah.
You should have that part
figured
out.
I'm glad we came to this consensus. Let's move on.
But in us talking about, or in us working on, I should say, connection, shout out to LX Erotica. She's somebody I follow on YouTube heavily. She be dropping all kinds of gems. If you're trying to get in any kind of dom, sub, dynamic, kink related, anything, all kind of conversations, she has so much insightful information. So go check out LX Erotica. And one of the videos that I sent you, it was like, yeah, how to reestablish your dynamic with your submissive. And then she was like, before y'all go ahead and try to do any of this shit, y'all need to like each other.
Yeah.
And she recommended in the whole getting to like each other part of things to start by answering questions from this thing called Love Mapping by John Gottman. And so you could break it down for them. But yeah, John Gottman created Love Mapping. And to me, it made so much sense. It's like, well, yeah, we should be doing this, but everybody should be doing this.
Yeah.
It's like, and then I realized, and I was just going through the Rolodex of relationships and how many times I actually like really asked these types of questions. It was very rare that I would ask these types of questions. And I just wonder like how many people are out there in relationships and don't really know their person because they don't really ask like the questions that really matter, you know? So that's what this is all about. So please break it down for them.
Sure. Love Mapping by John Gottman. A love map is the knowledge you have about your partner. The more you know about your partner, the richer your love map is. So it's all about understanding the major events in your partner's lives, their goals and dreams, worries, fears, and something as simple as their favorite foods, cities, holidays, etc., etc. But it's just really just getting that baseline map of who this person is. And it's like, if you look at it like, let's use New York, for example. You have the boroughs, right? You have Manhattan, the Bronx, New York. I said New York. Brooklyn, Queens. And it's like in each borough, there's like these deeper parts. Like you go deep into the Bronx. And then like those are the deeper parts of who you are. And you go all the way down to Queens. And it's just like this is what is a part of your personality and just like makes you who you are. And it's like once you get into each of those boroughs, it's like different parts of you that you're unmapping.
Brooklyn is my personality.
Yeah.
Awesome. You a Queens girl.
I wouldn't say that.
You Queens now. You Queens.
I live there, but I would not say that.
But yeah, we get more Queens energy than Brooklyn energy.
Okay, well, I'm with the Queens.
Queen with the Queens.
Gotta love the Queens. My mom is from Queens.
But yeah, Love Maps. And the thing I like about Love Maps too, because Love Maps, you could really apply them to any of your relationships. You know, not just your romantic relationships. So it helped me kind of look at it that way when just building relationships with people in general, like how to just connect with people on a real level.
Yeah.
Through the Love Maps. So I got that out of it. But we talking about that love. Mm-hmm. So what's inside a Love Map? Where do we start with a Love Map?
So I already said that it's the major events in a partner's life, the goals and dreams, worries and fears, their favorite foods, cities, holidays. And as your partner grows and changes, you should be asking those questions. As you make that initial love map, they should be updated. You know, so many, like maybe the street signs have changed or whatever it is. Maybe there's a new road or a new route. There's things that are changing that you need to be updating as y'all grow. And updating love maps means staying curious about your partner, and it's crucial to keep that relationship strong. Why? Because updating love maps sends the message that you care about your partner. So even just taking the initiative of like, hey, I've seen a lot of growth with you. Like, let's update our maps. It's showing that I not only see you, but I care to know more about you and I care to learn you, because we're not stagnant creatures, and you're completely different from the man that I first fell in love with. So what's changed, and how can I change with you? How can I stay updated with you?
Yeah. I feel like in the beginning, we didn't do love maps. We asked a lot of questions, but we were kind of creating. We focused our questions on what we wanted to create in our relationship, and not necessarily knowing all the things about who we were or who we were becoming. Because again, it was that frozen 3 years of time with COVID where it was like, well, we ain't really going anywhere other than right here to do this again tomorrow. So it was hard to kind of to build that. So we didn't have that. So there's probably a bunch of stuff that we could start asking each other now to get into it. But the thing I like about the maps, like you mentioned, is the deep maps. Well, what are we going to do? Because you can have maps on anything. There's so many maps. Just go online, Google. There's a million maps. You can create your own maps, whatever questions that you want to ask. But the maps that we're going to go over today are the deep maps, the current maps, other people and their life maps, and personal preferences maps. Okay. So we have a few questions that we're going to go through that we haven't actually asked each other yet. So I'm curious to find out.
And some we did, but it's good to, again, update those maps.
Right. So my first question to you is, what did you want to do as a kid?
I wanted to be a psychiatrist.
As a child, young child?
Psychologist, yes.
How old?
7.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Sabana actually taught me that.
So what did you want to do that for?
I was always interested in people's stories and interested in how people got to where they are. So I wanted to be a professional question asker and make good money off of it.
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Huh. See, there you go.
What about you?
For me, I wanted to just be a multimedia entertainment guy. Huh. Really?
Would you look at that?
No, seriously. I thought back to like my earliest memories being like 4 or 5 years old. I used to have the little Casio tape recorder with the mic on it, and I'll throw my little tapes in there. I'd be a radio DJ. I'd be the DJ. Plus, I'd interview myself doing voices, being the guest, and being pretending like I'm some kind of superstar or whatever, answering the questions. Then I would skip to go and bring some music in, and then we do the music thing. Or I would just put together all kinds of shows and ideas and stuff and everything.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Since the earliest age, and then getting into drawing from there and art, and then fast forward to when I graduated high school, because I lost it for quite a while, like through the years. I got into sports so much that I lost the media bug, I guess. And then getting back, then I wanted to be a rapper, and then rapper, producer, all that. Then I got into photography and video, and then it came back around, and then voiceover and all of this here. So yeah. Well, so I guess you kind of knew.
You're nothing if not consistent.
I've been very consistent.
Yeah, I love that.
So what's your question?
How would you like to be remembered?
That was a good one. I didn't get a chance to think about that. I want to be remembered as somebody who did it his way, 100%, mm-hmm. who never compromised who he was for anyone or anything, and I did it fully. And I want to be remembered as someone who influenced people as a result, influenced them in a positive way to do the same in their lives. Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you. How about for you?
I'm so funny. I always ask questions that I don't know the answer to for myself. But I want to be remembered as someone who's kind and loving and strong and who just shows up as my full self. Just no matter the situation, no matter the scenario, I'm always authentic. And I want to be remembered for leaving you with a positive feeling. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's so much that I want to do in my career and in those types of ways, but just at the end of the day, I just want to leave people. I want them to remember me with just how good I made them feel.
We're doing a damn good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I would add loyal to that. Not that you want to be remembered, but I think what you will be remembered for, and along with all of those beautiful things, how loyal you are to your people.
I love my people.
Yeah.
Going into current maps.
Hold on. We got to get a couple more.
Oh, you wanted to do... Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do one of each, but okay.
Let's do a few more.
Okay.
What was your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory? I have no idea. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I think it's the most prevalent. And we kind of talked. Yeah, it's the most prevalent. My dad used to work in New York, and we lived in the Poconos, and he traveled. I don't know why he did that, but he traveled every day. He would, like, get up at, like, 5 in the morning and go to work, and then he'd get back around like 6. And every night my mom would make dinner, and we would always make sure we were washed by a certain time. And we always had my mom called it dinner dressing. So we'd like get dressed for dinner. And my dad would come home, and like when he would open the door, we'd all just like run to him. And he'd pick us up. It would be like me in one arm, my sister in another. And he would just be kissing on him like, Abby's home. And then my mom would just come, and she'd come and give him a kiss. And then we'd just all walk into the dining room and just wait for my dad to wash his hands. And we just have family dinner. But that happened every single night. Every night.
Wow.
We always had family dinner.
Like that?
We always had family dinner.
It's a grand entrance.
Yeah. And we would just talk, and it would always be like a feast.
Wow. That puts a lot of things into perspective on why you are the way that you are with me. Just in terms of like greetings, how you talk about how greetings are so big.
They're big.
I just come in the crib like, you know, I'm going to say hi to you in a minute. I'm going to just put my stuff down. I might use the bathroom before I say words, but I'm going to say hi to you not too long from now. But if like for you, it's like I cannot cross the stairs without a clear acknowledgement, hug, kiss. Yeah. I love you, all of that. I didn't get it.
Yeah, because it's even like, regardless of how far you're traveling, you know, you weren't home. And there's like a level of safety that home provides. So it's like, it's a celebration of you made it home safe, even if you just went to the corner store.
Man.
And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we wait too long to just celebrate moments in life. And I feel like that's something that should constantly be celebrated, especially as Black people.
It would be nice. I did not have that growing up. Mm-hmm. Growing up, whenever my parents would come home, because I come home first from school, then my father would get home around 7, my mother would get home whenever. But when my father got home, he'll come in the house, change his clothes. I hear him moving around, doing his thing. Then he'll go down kind of in the little den area and just, you know, watch the game. And then I'll see him when I see him. He come upstairs and I'm upstairs, we'll cross paths. Or if I need to go downstairs, I'll see him down there. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, Dad? Like, that's it. It wasn't a... Hey, son, I'm home. How you doing?
It was a very...
How was your day today? My day was great. My day was swell, Dad. Like, it wasn't... we didn't have any of that. Mm-hmm. But see, that's that. really helps me understand. It really makes a lot of sense. And because I know that that's obviously that's a thing, that to you know, be a part of who you are, I can indulge in that more now, knowing that.
Yeah. And I think I just didn't really understand why you didn't, because, you know, coming in the house and saying hi, it's been, I don't want to say a problem, but it's been a thing that we've been going back and forth about. And I would like come in and I'm like, okay, I'll just wait. I'll wait for him to come out from, you know, I know he hears me. These stairs are loud.
Oh, and like when you come in.
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't even think about that. So I guess I got to stop what I'm doing. I didn't think about it like that. I didn't think about it like that. I'm putting it together. Okay. Let me work on that.
I got
it. It's not a conscious thing. Let me stop completely what I'm doing right now and greet my woman at the door. I'm not going to leave you hanging for several minutes, but.
You have.
That means I was doing something.
Yeah, stop what you're doing. Say hi to me.
I will work on that.
And it changes the whole energy, I think, of whatever interaction we're about to have. Because we just had a moment. Let's just have a moment. And even if those moments are happening twice a day because you left the house twice, it's just like, let's have those moments. Why the hell not?
Mm-hmm. I can respect it. Mm-hmm. I will try my best. Give me some time.
Take your time.
I'm used to nothing. So give me some time. But I got you. I would say for me, my favorite childhood memory for sure was when I used to play Little League. Like, I was nice. I told you about it. Mm-hmm. I was nice as hell in Little League. No bullshit. Like, I'd probably be in the league right now if I stayed with it. So I was always like, you know, like top kid on all the teams. And then they had the All-Star team. So they had the All-Star A team and the All-Star B team. So it was our first year going out for the All-Star team. Everybody knows, oh, he about to come through. I ain't gonna put my past name out there. But yeah, he about to come through. He gonna be on the All-Star team, the A team, of course. Of course. This is just no knowledge, of course. So I tried out. Everybody tried out. I was not on that A team.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, what the? Everybody, the parents, the kid, everybody, A team parents. It's like, what the fuck? Why is he not on that? It was like that. I'm like, all right, bet. So we move along. We start our season. I'm on the B team, killing it, of course, because that's what I do. I play baseball. Then there's a game where we have to play the A teams. We've been playing other teams from other towns, but there's one game we scheduled to play the A team.
So the B team is playing the A team?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, all right, bet. First at bat, and I was a batter too. They had one of their good pitchers. What was his name? Billy Daly. I'll never forget his ass. Billy Daly had a nice little curveball. The kids was scared of his curveball because he the first kid to do the curveball because we little league. I said, all right, Billy, bet. Got up to bat. I think one pitch went by. I don't remember if it was a ball or strike. It wasn't no strike. He didn't get no strike. It was like a ball. Next pitch. Bang! Cracked that shit all the way over the fence. Destroyed that ball. Destroyed that shit. Everybody knew. He should have been on the fucking A team. And it was just like how quickly that happened. I felt so proud. Like, yeah, motherfuckers. Should have had me on that goddamn A team. And it was just such validation. I skipped around those bases so happy. But I wasn't like going crazy. It was just a, this is what I do. This is what you missed out on, bitches. And I hit that home plate, and it just after that, it was just like a, yeah, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on, what other people think. I'm going to be my great self, period. Yeah. And it just helped me. I guess that really stuck with me. Just, yeah, not allowing what other people's opinions are to deflate me. Because I could have been like, oh, I guess the A team, I'm not as good as them, or else I would have been on there and I would have crumbled and struck out or some shit.
Yeah.
You know? So I hold that with me forever. That was my biggest moment.
That's amazing. You definitely lead with that energy still to this day.
Yeah.
I've witnessed it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So let's do current maps.
Okay.
So also, just to clarify, like with the deep maps, it's really about like the foundational things that make you, mm-hmm. really asking those questions, like have a deeper understanding of the person maybe prior to you.
Yeah. And how did you get to where you are today? Like, why do you have those little things about you? Like, what sparked that?
Right.
Yeah. Let's get deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So current maps are all about like what's currently happening in your life. Like, what's currently affecting your day-to-day? What's currently shifting the way you think or affecting the way you think or are?
Right.
So my question to you, what is the best thing that happened to you last week?
What happened last week?
Tell me.
Us recording last week. We recorded last week.
Yeah, we did.
We did record last week. Got some good stuff coming for you. Us recording last week. Nephew, back on the team.
Back on the team.
Back in VK. We got a team. We got a team, y'all. We about to really record. ABBA. So that was probably the best thing. It made me really feel confident, like, all right, we got a solid foundation here. I know these are all my ride or dies.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that Amir wants to do this so much and he's doing such a great job and he's so passionate. We talk about it. If not for us, for him. We didn't tell you yes. This. We won't let you down, Amir. So, yes.
Forget us and our whole audience. You know.
Yes.
Respectfully.
Yes. So that was probably the best thing that happened. Have that extra fire under my ass.
Yes. And I will 1000% steal that from you because, as we said, you are my whole life right now. So what's happening to you is happening to me.
That's a fact.
But yes, and I feel like it was like ABBA was born, and ABBA is like Amir Basir Amir because that's our team right now.
Right.
And just like even figuring out that schedule and figuring out a plan so that we can be, we can show up authentically, we can show up energetically, and we can show up consistently, which right. hasn't been happening. Figuring out that plan just felt really good, and it just felt like, oh yeah, like we're back at this. And it felt like there was a lot of rust to like get off of us, of let's getting back into the podcast zone, and it just felt good. So yeah. That is definitely the best thing that's happened to me last week.
Definitely. What gets you out of bed every day?
What gets me out of bed every day? The hope to be better. Mm. And it sounds cheesy, but it really is. I'm really striving right now to just be more productive and be less human, actually. Like, be more connected to my higher self and to kind of get out of this worldly self that I am. Mm-hmm. Or that is just like what's happening in the world and around us is so heavy and so prevalent. And I'm just really seeking more and moving beyond that and really connecting to my spiritual self. So that's what's getting me out of bed right now.
I feel that. It's definitely a big part of what I'm trying to do for myself. But it's challenging because as much as you want to disconnect and need to disconnect and need to connect with your higher self that is beyond all of this, there are bills to pay. There are responsibilities. There are people that rely on you. They're, you know, it's not going anywhere. So it's like being able to balance both of those. And I'm learning now in my mid-30s how to do that. So I second that. But in addition to that, I think what really gets me out of bed is I have such a grand vision for my life. Mm. And it's so clear overall what that looks like and like how powerful it is.
Yeah.
And just how much good I can do in this world by seeing it fully realized. So it's like getting up out of bed, no matter how tough the day might be, hey, it's going to give me one step closer to realizing that. Whether I struggled today and learned something that way, or I had a breakthrough, I had a new insight, I had a new opportunity, a new win, whatever the case is, whatever happens in that day is somehow going to get me closer to that fully actualized version of myself.
I love that.
That's what gets me up.
I like you.
I like you too. So are we on to friends?
Other people in their lives, in our lives.
Yes, other people in our lives. I think this is actually just as important as finding out about your person. There's so many things I've learned about you through learning about your people. Mm. There's a lot. There's a lot that I've learned about you. And I know that we won't go heavily into all of that, but I will just say that I learned how you tick. I learned why you do the things that you do. I learned about your challenges and your struggles and how you've kind of been shaped to be who you are based on the people that have been in your life at different stages and the roles that they have played. Because I've thoroughly got to learn about them through, you know, what you've shared with me. But without the knowledge of who they were and understanding of who they were, I wouldn't understand a lot of why you are the way you are. And so we would have more issues. Because it's one thing for you to talk to me about your stuff, mm-hmm. but without the understanding of like the other people around or to see them yeah. being themselves, I wouldn't have fully understood. So it's also important to know the people in our lives.
People that help make you.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what question do you have about people for me?
What's your relationship like with your friends right now?
That's a good one. So my main friend core group, my brothers at this point, like we were beyond friends. They all live in Jersey. So anytime I do friend things, for the most part, like I'm going out to Jersey or they'll come out here. But that's like my friends that I'll hang out with. But I find it harder now because, you know, we are a whole state apart and many, many miles apart. We can't hang out like that. Yeah. With most of them. I have some friends in Brooklyn too, but like my friends from growing up, they out there. And so that's the challenge. So I feel lonely sometimes, like not like having, I want my homies around. Like I want a gang of homies around. I could call up, we go hit the bar, we go to the city, like whatever, like a bunch of them. And I don't have that right now. And I just feel like it's harder to make friends. It could just be limiting beliefs that I have. But it's like,
no, it's as a common man, thread.
As a man, like, how the fuck do you make new male friends? Hey.
Women bro, feel the same way.
Hey, bro, you want to be my friend? Like, what the fuck are we talking about? I don't know. We don't know each other. So unless, like, you know, a certain situation comes up where it just makes sense, I just feel like it's harder to make friends. So most of them are out there. And the reason why I say that we've transcended our friendship is that we're very different. I've changed a lot over the years since me and them became friends, and I've just evolved into a different version of me, which is quite different than them in a lot of ways. And it's fine. It's beautiful. I love the lives that they've chosen for themselves and who they are. But we are very different. So I can't always even call them about the things I would like to talk about because it's just different. And like, sometimes the type of time they on doesn't resonate with me, and it's like jarring sometimes, like, damn, this is a whole nother frequency. I'm trying to calibrate.
Yeah.
So I have challenges with that. So, you know, sometimes I struggle with loneliness and just like really finding friends that align with where I am currently, like new friends that align with where I'm at currently to support those friendships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel that. I feel like I'm definitely in the same boat. All of my friends just don't live in New York. Like, I have one in North Carolina. I have another one in Massachusetts and, like, two in Maryland. And it's just, like, none of my friends live in New York. And I've been here for, like, what, 6-7 years? But it's been so hard to make friends because, like, the first few years that I was here, I was just working. I was working full time. I was working multiple jobs, going to school full time. I was modeling full time, and it was just a lot happening, where I didn't have time to really make those friendships outside of like who I met doing those things. And then COVID happened. So right now with my friend group, I adore my friends, and I fiercely love them, and they show up for me in so many ways that they probably aren't even aware of, and they're great. And I'm also feeling that loneliness. Like, I'm really wanting that close sisterhood here. I also realized, like, there's some people in my life, just like other friends as well, that are on completely different frequencies than me. Like, you know, they're in, like, I have one friend who has two beautiful daughters and is married and is just living the complete opposite life that I am right now. And so just like telling her about whatever crazy thing that we're doing, it's just very different. And she shows up for me and she listens. And I just kind of would love to have someone like proximity, like closer, that are kind of on the same frequency so that we can connect in that way. And I want to be able to go out and just like have friends. So right now I'm shopping for friends. I'm on, what is it called? Bumble BFF. And yeah, that's been interesting, like literally being on a dating app, but just to find friends. And it's I've been like going out of my way, like when I do meet people and like have that short temporary energetic connection that you were speaking of, like I'll say like, will you be my friend? Like, hi, I'm shopping for friends. Will you be my friend? And it's so awkward and cringy.
Even for that, I feel like women can do that so easily. And it's all getting fun. Because you think women just have,
it's so much easier.
I just feel like it's easier for women. I just feel like it's easier just in general. You could just say whatever you want to say. And it's all good.
It's definitely been received. It's been received well. And usually the response is like, oh my God, it's been so hard for me to make friends. And there's so many people in the same boat of just... nobody has friends. We're all friendless.
We got 50,000 friends on fucking Instagram.
Yeah, and it's just like this new world of social media. We don't know how to really communicate in person.
Right.
And it's harder, but I've been really challenging myself to move forward into... I'm craving sisterhood right now. I'm craving friendship. And I just want to be able to go out and... go get mimosas and get stupid drunk and then come home and be like, I'm mimosa drunk, let's have sex. Like, I want those experiences. Or go on I've never been on a girl trip. Like, I want to do those things. So that's what my relationship is like with friends right now.
Thank you for tuning in to Both Sides of the Bed. At the moment, we are taking applications for friends. Please join us as we embark on a new journey of friendship here at Both Sides of the Bed.
Let us know if you're in Brooklyn.
Yes. I'm dead ass serious.
That's so sad. That's so sad. Okay.
Now we got personal preferences.
Yes, this is the last of our maps.
Personal preferences. I like that. So just, exactly what it says.
What do you prefer? So you go.
What's one thing that you would want to change about yourself?
Ooh, one thing that I would want to change about myself. Wow. Nothing. Let me stop. One thing that I would want to change about myself is I am a beautifully fantastic procrastinator. I have a master's, a PhD, everything in procrastination. And it is bad. It is unproductive. And I would change that. I'm working on it right now. It's like one of the biggest things that I'm working on, shifting for myself. But procrastination is definitely it.
I feel that. Part of me wants to say my overactive brain and just like I think a lot. It's like overanalyze. But I wouldn't want to take that away because I see everything. I see everything. One thing I would want to change about me. I don't know. I asked you and I wasn't even ready.
I have a few things if you need help.
Yeah, what you got?
No, I'm kidding.
Honestly, still, the only thing I definitively want to change, I feel like everything else has its place and I'm good with it. My fucking belly button still. I want to change my belly button.
Still? I love your outie.
I can comfortably talk about it on camera for thousands of people to hear, which is progress. A whole lot of progress, but I used to hate that shit so much. I used to hate it. You understand how bad I used to get teased about it. I feel like I've grown into it now, and it's fine. You know, I make sure the mids is right so that, you know, it's cool. But I still just prefer no belly button there. I don't want the donut. I want just the little piece or whatever. It just hangs, like half of it.
What, belly button hangs?
No, not hang, but like half belly button, half just...
You want an innie, is what you're saying.
I want an innie.
You have an outie. You have a strong outie. I love your belly button. A strong outie. It's my favorite thing, actually.
Yeah, I don't love it.
It's like, I love your belly button.
I still don't love it.
Oh, I'm so sad to hear that.
I still don't love it. I get it removed in a heartbeat tomorrow. Absolutely. I have an innie? I could just fully be free out here in these streets? I cut this shit off in a heartbeat, I promise you.
I can fully say, with the abs that you have, nobody's looking at your goddamn belly button.
I beg to differ. Okay. I feel like everyone's looking at my belly button. That's why I make sure that my abs is here, because I need some support here. Okay? So I get rid of this damn belly button.
It's so funny.
How about you?
I would keep my belly button. It's pierced.
It's cute.
It's cute. My little belly. Okay. What is the next book you would like to read?
I actually want to read the book. What is it called? The Taoist Secrets of Love. And it's all about...
Did you just read it just now?
I mean, it's right there, yeah. You thought I just had
You're
it
like, the
top.
Taoist...
I thought that was off the top. I'm not that good. Taoist Secrets of Love. And any other literature on semen retention. Yeah, semen retention, sex transmutation. I struggle with that right now.
You are not retaining your semen.
I'm not retaining my semen.
It's beyond me.
I'm not retaining my semen. Every once in a while, I'll like be really horny one night, and then I'll be like, no, fart it, don't masturbate.
That's different, though.
I mean, I'm just saying, just... I'd be wanting, it'd be like, it'd be like, I need to handle this right now so I can sleep. And then all in my head, I'd be talking crazy to myself. You need to handle this. What you doing? But then I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I don't do it. And then it subsides. And I lay down in my bed and I feel accomplished. I feel good. I didn't do it. Can't beat me. And I feel strong. And then it'd be other times, out of here. I'm wasting a half of my day, maybe had a few rounds, you know, like, yo, bro, you got shit to do today. What's going on right now?
You know? Feel like I have, like, every other month I have, like, these masturbation fits where it's just, like, I'm useless for, like, 3 days.
3 whole days. That's a long
it's
masturbation.
It's a long time. Or it's like, I'll have, like, 1 full day of just, like, that was ridiculous. And then I'll shower and be like, okay, wash that dirtiness off me. And then the next day, it'll just be like a twitch. Like, you remember that? Yeah, you remember that. And it's just like on me. And it'd be like that for 2 extra days. So yeah, just 3 days, just be out the door. Fit of masturbation. But, and that's when good toys come into play. I hate it when mine dies. But the one that I have of Lilo, shout out to y'all, when it dies, it like stops. So it'll go for 10 seconds and then it'll stop. And then it'll go for 10 seconds, but it'll do that for like a good like 15 minutes. So like,
oh, you get 15 minutes?
You get like 15 minutes out of it. So it gets you over there, but it's just like, this is edge play at this point.
It's back and forth. Double dutch.
And I'm not an edge play type of gal. So that one is, it's interesting.
Mm.
But,
what would you like to read?
I would like to read, it's actually the women's version of the book that you just said, and it's Healing Love Through the Tao.
Okay.
And I'm really excited about that book because it teaches you about what's called ovarian breathing and recycling your chi and your energy. Because they say, like, with men, you lose your life force energy through ejaculation, and with women we lose our life force energy through menstruation. So it's all about learning how to shift that strength in your ovaries and recycle that energy, so over time, if you do it properly, you can even shorten your periods.
I never even thought about that. You're losing your life form energy during your period.
Life force
mm-hmm. Damn, so that's like when we come, how tired we get. That's like drawn out over a whole week for you.
Mm-hmm.
And pain.
And painful, yes.
A painful nut and entire? That's terrible. Even if it was only like an hour, that's... Oh.
Yeah. But I've come to really connect with my period.
See, we're learning so much right now. I just like, it puts it in perspective for me.
Yeah, these maps are helpful. They're really helpful. But I've really come to connect with my menstrual cycle and the 4 different phases of that, and really learn to love it rather than look at it like, oh, it's so draining.
Mm-hmm.
But I get what you mean.
Yeah, I didn't mean it in a negative way, but...
No, I feel
it. Yeah. But I feel that. It's real shit. I respect the hell out of it.
Yeah, I'd rather, you know, do it for 6 days of the month than every time I come. Like, golly.
That's a fact. That is a fact. I want to do one more of these and then we could wrap it up.
Okay.
If you could go anywhere, where would you go right now?
And Bali.
Why?
Bali. That's the answer.
Sick.
Yes, just the scenery, the warmth, the just being around a new culture, water. I'm craving just clear blue water. I would go to Bali right now if I could.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I'd go to South Africa.
Oh.
In this present moment, if I could really go do it right now, I'd go to South Africa. Those Amapiano vibes. I just got caught up in the whole house music vibe. Afro house music. I love that shit. I love it deep. It's like my spirit music.
It's beautiful. It's amazing.
It's crazy how much I resonate with that. And then I found out about Amapiano, which is in South Africa. If y'all know about Amapiano, go catch those vibes, please. And you're welcome. But I want to go there. I need to get it. I need to get it live. I need to get it with the people over there. They just live so freely in that. Like, they just ooze it out of their whole being. Just dance and just movement and just the energy of it. Yeah. Like, we don't vibe like how they be vibing at the club. And I like that a lot. So I would go there right now. I feel like my spirit needs that.
I would love that. So I just wanted to add, before we close, an extra tip of love maps. A great time to talk about love maps is pillow talk. Like, after a great love making session, this is a great time to ask those questions and reconnect in that way. Or even before, just like setting the tone of what your night is going to be with connecting in that way and taking it to that next level and paying attention and having true and real and pure curiosity for what's going on in your partner's life and how can you get closer to them.
Yeah, and I think pillow talk would be a great time to have a conversation about where y'all are going, if y'all are there, and where this conversation makes sense, where it's like, you know, y'all could be sitting there mapping out, you know, your lives together, or interests that you want to have, or experiences that you want to have, you know, sexually or other. So that is a great time. I'm much more receptive after that, before I fall asleep, because our life force thing, you know.
No, I felt that.
So I remember we went out last week and we spoke to the people and we asked a few questions about connection, and we got some interesting answers. So if you don't know, we have a YouTube channel as well. And so we do interviews with people that we meet out in the streets in New York, and we ask questions pertaining to the topics that we have for the pod. So definitely go check out some of their answers. We got some really interesting and really beautiful answers about how people connect, what they think connection is, that really inspired me. And so I just wanted to hit a couple of the questions so that we can leave y'all with these to think about for your own relationships. And so first, what are some ways you and your partner maintain a strong connection in your relationship? So what are some ways you think that we maintain a strong connection? Fucking.
That's not what I was going to say. I was about to be like, drugs.
Paraphernalia.
But more specifically, like shrooms. We like to go on those journeys. And one thing that I love about shrooms and using those types of things to heighten your experience is it gets you closer to your highest self. One thing I love about LSD is it stimulates the parts in your brain that are closest to your higher self, and you can actually get there naturally with baby breath. And I love being in that mindset with you because we're able to be very clear, we're able to be very honest and figure out, like, that's kind of how we always get to that next phase of what we're about to go do in life, of like, oh, okay, like, I'm vibing with you high on this level, and we're able to just fully connect there.
Right.
Yeah,
I've definitely connected with you on our highest levels through that.
Literally.
Not that we can't, not that we can't without it, because we absolutely do.
1,000%.
But when we connect there, and it's just outer worldly, we're able to just go way beyond our fleshy selves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like our spirits are mingling.
Yeah. So I would agree. Definitely the psychedelics. Love the psychedelics. But really through sex, the type of sex that we have and how far that we go and the passion and the intensity and the freedom.
It's so pure.
Yeah. And like our willingness to go there for each other and just be really present. Like, it's meditative in a way. Just being able to be fully present. Like, I'm not thinking about anything else. So I think that when we maintain a nice, consistent flow in our sex, we feel most connected through that. And then obviously, and then also just talking, whatever the conversation, just having real conversations with each other about how we're feeling, about what we want, about challenges, whatever we have, just talking, like really having real conversations.
Yeah.
Even the ones that are tougher, at the end of it, we always feel way more connected after.
That part, even when they're tough, they get us to this next phase of understanding. And sometimes I feel like at least we learned something, but then we have the next one, and then it's just like, at least we learned something. But it's like we're constantly learning these new things still.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's ever going to change.
No.
And that's the beauty of being in a relationship, where you grow together and you're ever evolving and ever changing. So you're kind of always getting a chance to learn something new.
Right. I feel that. Is connection important in a strictly sexual relationship?
For me, yes. I think that it's, when I'm connected to you, I can let go more. And I can be more present. And when it's just a strictly sexual thing, it just feels very surface. Like, I don't like surface sex. Like, I want to be able to go there and feel deep, even if it's temporary, even if it's just for the one night. I want to be able to be fully immersed in this pleasure. And when there's no connection there, I'm not capable of doing it.
Yeah, same. I don't care enough to fuck you good if I don't connect with you. I don't care enough to give you my all or try to be in tune with your body and like really give that effort. I don't really care. I don't really care if you really enjoy this.
Yeah. You know, then it becomes like a selfish thing of like, okay, well, let me get something out of this.
Yeah. And I don't like having selfish sex anymore. If I feel like I'm just focused on myself, then what am I even doing here?
Yeah.
Like I really value the buildup. I really value just a good conversation with somebody, sharing some laughs, sharing some things that we have in common, whatever they may be, or just sharing like the enjoyment of being present in the moment. Like, we can connect in this moment. We like what we're doing right now. We can look each other in the eyes and just be here. Whatever it is, I need that. I need something, or else I'm good. I value my penis too much these days.
I appreciate that.
I value my penis too much these days.
I'm glad you value it so much.
Absolutely.
I value it too.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And then last question, when do you feel most connected to me?
During sex is the question.
During sex or in general? And in general, both. When do you feel most connected to me?
In general, I feel most connected to you when you're just present with me. Even when I'm annoying, which is a high chance that's happening in any given moment. But when you just are fully present and just let me be all over you and just enjoy it with me instead of being annoyed by it. I feel really connected to you in those moments. I feel like I feel really seen in those moments.
Yeah, I feel most connected to you when you're fully expressing your most open, silly, submissive side. Yeah. Where it's like, you just want to be loved. You just want to be up under me. You don't want to do a whole bunch of stuff. You don't want no problems. You just want to be loved and be free and be happy and just having a good time. When I see that side of you, I'm good. We good. I understand it.
We're on the same exact page.
We good. Then. We are good. I love when you're in those zones.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we had a very fruitful conversation today about connection. Hope y'all got something out of it. I know I sure did.
I sure did.
Got more out of it than I realized. Definitely connect with the love maps. Find the love maps. Hit your Googles. Find you some love maps. We'll make sure we post some love maps. We'll post some love maps for y'all. We just stay in tune with our Instagram. We'll let you know where our love maps are, because this is an important one. I feel like love maps can help in any kind of relationship that you have. And if you're not asking these types of questions with your partner, you got to ask yourself, do you really care about your partner? Do you really care about your relationship? Do you really care about growing in any way, shape, or form and having any true emotional connection with someone? Fellas, I know that we have challenges with connecting. I know that's not always on our top priority list, but I really encourage you, especially as we get older. I understand when we're younger, when we're in our teens, when we're in our early 20s, we're just out here living life, doing our thing. I get it. But as a 34, almost 35 year old now, and really seeing a whole life in front of me and what's to come, and in the decisions that I made before, I realized more than ever how important it is to value connection when dealing with women. Showing up fully as who you really are and in hopes to make some kind of connection. It ain't gotta be a forever connection. It could be a one night connection, a 1 year connection, or it could be your lifetime connection. But just challenge yourself to have some real ass connections. Why are we living our life if we ain't here for real connections? Let's stop going through the motions. Let's give a fuck and have better connections. I really mean that.
Yeah. And ladies, remember to have that connection with yourself first. It's so easy for us to connect with others and do for others. Connect with yourself first, prioritize that first, and then allow everybody else to come in. And I feel like you're going to have the strongest and most purest connections then.
I feel like we got a damn good connection. I'm feeling connected. You feeling connected?
I always feel connected.
I feel connected to them too. I feel like they're going to connect with this, and we're all going to connect through this conversation.
We're all interconnected.
Yes.
Connection.
So if you felt connected to today's conversation, thank you so much for making it this far. And please show your appreciation for the connections that we're co-connecting here by connecting with us on Apple. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Music right now, please leave us a review so that we can connect with other people the same way as we connect with you. It's a lot of connections.
A lot happening.
But we would really appreciate if y'all could leave us a review. It really goes a long way in letting people know we got the gems over here. We got a lot of love over here. We got everything you need over here at both sides of the bed. If you haven't followed us already, please check us out on all your podcast streaming platforms, Instagram, YouTube, both sides of the bed. Hop in the conversation with us. Let us know how you feel. Send us a message. Oh, we got share. We got share going now. Yes. Can't forget share. Share at both sides of the bed.
.tv.
Check with us there.
Yeah, and that's if you want to share any stories, you want to share an opinion, you want to share whatever it is, share us there. Let's connect there. Absolutely. @sharebothsidesofthebed.tv. That will be in our bio and also in our episode description.
And tell them about Be Intimate.
Yes, and if you want some help mapping out your love, and you want to take your intimate journey to the next level, schedule a coaching call with me at be-intimate.com. The link will be in our bio and also in our episode description.
That would be fire. You doing some love maps with people?
Yeah.
That'd be fire. Come hop on these love maps, y'all. But with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed. Until next time, stay tuned for the sexy.
Stay tuned for the sexy.